In the summer of 1916, sharks killed 4 people off the Jersey shore. That November, those same beach towns punished the president for it. Hold on to that. It tells you something your civics teacher never did. Here's the story we're raised on. You have preferences, you vote them. Government does roughly what the majority wanted. Political scientists call it the folk theory of democracy, and they've spent a generation quietly tearing it apart. The problem isn't that voters are dumb, it's weirder, and it goes deeper. Start with that tidy story. Aiken and Bartels, two of the field's heavy hitters, put it under the microscope and concluded the folk theory bears no relationship to how democracy actually works, or ever could. The idea that you carry coherent positions to the booth and the government carries them back out as policy, they say it simply isn't what happens. So how do people vote? Mostly by who they already are, by identity, by tribe, and by something Aiken and Bartels call blind retrospection, punishing whoever's in charge for whatever just went wrong. Those 1916 shark attacks cut Wilson's vote in the beach towns by around 10 points. Droughts, floods, voters punish presidents for the weather. That's the machinery underneath the mandate. Fine, set the voters aside. Whose preferences actually become law? Gillens and Page went looking across almost 1,800 policy decisions over 2 decades. The finding? Economic elites and organized groups move policy. The average citizen's independent influence rounds to about 0. Their word for it? Not a democracy, but something more nearly an oligarchy. Now, is that airtight? No, and honesty is the whole game here. Bashir reran the oligarchy numbers and found them fragile. Ordinary people, he argues, get their way about as often as elites do. Fowler and Hall reran the sharks and found the effect, at best, inconclusive. The case isn't that democracy is dead, it's that it's under-delivering, and even that is a fight. But here's the wall you can't reanalyze away. Riker took Arrow's impossibility theorem and pointed it at the whole idea. There may be no coherent will of the people for any election to express. Run the same voters through different fair methods, you can crown different winners. Mackey pushes back. Real cycling is rare, but rare isn't never, and a will that might not even exist is a strange thing to build a mandate on. Add it up where we actually live. By the spring of 2024, just 22% of Americans said they trust the government to do right, down from about 77% 6 decades ago. People can feel the gap between what a vote promises and what it delivers, even when they can't name the studies. So here's the thing the despair gets wrong. The mandate, the notion that an election reads out what the people want and hands the winners permission to do it, is mostly a phantom. You don't supply a clean will, the math may forbid one, and policy follows the money either way. But that is not an argument against democracy. It's proof we asked one tool, the vote, once every few years, to do a job it was never able to do, carry what a people wants into what a government does. An election is a fine way to throw the bums out. It's a terrible way to say what the people want. A shark off the Jersey shore moved a presidential vote, not because anyone willed a thing about sharks, but because transmitting your will was never what a ballot did. So if the vote can't carry the will of the people, the real question is, what could? And whether we ever bothered to build anything else to try.